Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond and I love to tell stories. Once upon a time, there were three Arctic fairies who lived in an ice cave with a crow who fed them flies and berries and told them stories every night while they nestled under her strong black feathered wings. Flies, berries, and stories of adventure, courage, and righteousness are exactly what makes fairies grow. And the fairies did, until they were large enough to see eye to eye with the crow, and then she told them something that shocked them. "Fairies," she said, "I am not your mother. I found you last autumn in a puff of moss stuffed into the hollow of a fire-scarred tree. You were weak, afraid, and crying with hunger, and I could have made a quick meal of you, but I was grieving for my nest of eggs that had been pillaged by a marauding fox, and I realized I wouldn't have any baby crows to tell stories to all winter long, and my heart was broken at that thought. So I raised you as my own. I do not know what happened to your parents or why you were alone, but as you may have noticed, you are fairies and I am a crow, and my belly is heavy with eggs this spring, so soon I'll have a muster of chicks to bring flies and berries to all summer long, and I just won't be able to feed you anymore. No matter. Oh, no tears. You are strong and clever fairies, and I know you'll be able to make your way in the world and that you'll brave any adventure with courage and righteousness." Then she gave them a word as a parting gift, and the word was... "The word means," she told them, "I'm a crow like you, and I need your help. And any time you speak the word, a crow will help you." It took some time for the fairies to believe Crow, so shocking was what she was saying, but when they thought about it, it was clear and plain as a cold, fast, glacier-fed stream that she was telling the truth. So one by one, they accepted that truth, and they let their tears fall at Crow's feet until their tears were all spent, and then they bid her farewell and thanked her for the flies and the berries and the stories, and especially for the love and the safety under her broad black wings. The first to leave the ice cave, which was melting and dripping in the spring sunshine, was Tova. She was the eldest, and she had clear blue eyes and gossamer wings that matched them. When she flew, she made a whizzing sound like a dragonfly, and she could see far around the tundra at the blossoming shrubs and the brightly colored lichen. Fairies, much like butterflies, have a powdery dust-like substance on their wings. When they shake their wings, the powder gives them access to the knowledge of their fairy ancestors. When Tova shook her wings, she could tell that she should build a boat, and she knew just how to do it, so she got right to work. First, she had many materials to gather, but she knew where to look and what to look for. She collected the bark from paper birch trees, and she shaped that silvery bark into a flat-bottomed skiff. She sealed the layers of bark together with hot pine sap, and she tested for holes and leaks, which she patched with more resinous sap. She waterproofed the whole thing with crocus tubers mixed with spruce needles, cooked slow over a fire for 3 days. Then she made a sail from the found wings of a Luna moth. She made the riggings out of a strong rope that she also made by twisting foxgrass fibers together. She made the boom out of a beaver's rib bone found on the pebbly shore of a still lake. And she made a rudder from the found clavicle bone of an Arctic char. It was a light, agile little skiff, and it was the color of moonlight and speed. Tova had planned to set out on her own, downstream, to wherever that fast current would take her, and from there to follow the wind or the stars after consulting the wisdom in her wings. But her younger brother was watching her from the wood, and it was obvious that he was planning to come with her. Well, it took her weeks to build that boat, and meanwhile, he was building things too. The boy's name was Ollie. He had dark, mischievous eyes and powerful wings that were barred, like a pheasant's or a hawk's feathers. Ollie was an archer, and when he shook his wings, he just knew how to fletch arrows, how to knap flint to make arrow points, and how to construct strong bows. He knew how to aim at a moving target without missing, even if he was flying or somersaulting through fog. What's more, Ollie had the gift of being an excellent cook, and he could always start a cooking fire, no matter how damp the morning or the night was. Why would Tova want to be without her sharp-shooting, delicious broth-making brother? She wouldn't. So she asked him to come with her, and he agreed. The littlest one was named Esther, and at first Tova and Ollie were pretty sure she didn't have much of any power at all, because she seemed to, all day long, just talk to animals and gather tiny bits of fluff and fiber and the lost scales of rainbow trouts at the bottom of streams. She loved to swim more than anything else, and she had freckles all over her little nose and a mass of long, dark hair that fanned out around her when she dove into the clean, cold water of the still lakes and the fast rivers. But when Esther began to make little fairy suits of armor with the fish scales she'd been collecting, well, the fineness and the strength of the armor took Tova and Ollie's breath away. Esther made a shining suit of armor for herself, and one for her big sister, and one for her big brother, and they were so well made that they could even resist one of Ollie's sharp arrows. What's more, Esther knew things that no one else could know from talking to animals, and just one of these things was how to make potions out of night blossoming flowers. The three young fairies set out together in the beautiful boat with Luna moth sail, in their dazzling armor with quivers full of arrows, and they sailed south through the endless Arctic summer days, past polar bears and narwhals and puffins and caribou. They left the Arctic Circle by sailing into the Arctic Ocean and through the Beaufort Sea. They sailed to Tuktoyaktuk and down the Mackenzie River. They traveled a long way. More than once they were attacked by snowy owls, while Esther dipped arrows in a potion and she handed them to Ollie to shoot into the birds' breasts. When the arrows from his strong bow pierced through the ferocious owl's feathery chest, the potion under their skin caused those owls to forget that they were hunting fairies and to just fly away, searching for the moon instead. The tiny little fairy arrows lodged in their puffy white breasts like porcupine quills. Once, the fairies got into a terrible fight with each other over who would eat the last of a wild apple pie that Ollie had baked in a fairy oven, and Tova stomped away angry. Esther and Ollie decided to share the pie when they heard Tova calling for help. She was being attacked by an ermine, and if it wasn't for her armor, she probably wouldn't have survived the attack at all. But as it was, when her brother and sister came to her rescue, Ollie shooting arrows, Esther hollering at the ermine in the language of weasels, and Tova using all the strength she had left to hold the beast off, well, the ermine decided the fairies were more trouble than they were worth, and she dashed away. The fairies traveled almost the whole summer before they needed to use the word Crow gave them. The beautiful fairy boat had come upon some rapids, and all the fairies were surprised to be dragged over rocks until the boat was in tatters, and then they were thrown by the current over the ledge of a waterfall that dropped them into, thank goodness, calmer water. But when Ollie and Tova swam to shore, They were exhausted and relieved and grateful to be safe, but they couldn't see Esther anywhere. They called to her and they called, but she never answered back. That's when her brother and sister used the crow word. And it worked. All the crows near the river, and there were many because the river was lively during the summer months, swooped down to help, and then they took to the skies, flying wide circles, searching, searching ever wider, until they found Esther. When the ship had wrecked on the rocks, Esther had jumped into a slow current. And because she was such a strong swimmer, she didn't go over the waterfall. She swam to shore before the river pulled her very far at all. Then she was walking, making her way down the riverbank, hoping her brother and sister were safe too, when the crows found her. Well, it was kind of the crows to fly her quickly to Tove and Ollie. How happy they were all to be together again. That evening, Ollie made a big warm fire and they slept under the stars, wondering if they should stop traveling south. But when they shook their wings, the only answer they found was, "Keep moving south." So in the morning, they continued south again, on foot this time. They climbed very high into the Caribou Mountains before they saw the first signs of fall, a larch tree turning yellow. The next day, they saw aspen leaves turn from green to gold and rosehip leaves turn red and shrubs of all kinds become heavy with fruit. They also found a nest of baby crows. The baby crows were weak, afraid, and crying with hunger. Their mother wasn't anywhere in sight. They didn't seem to know the word crow had taught them yet, so the fairy said it for the poor little baby birds. But this time it didn't work. There were simply no crows around to hear it, though the fairies couldn't imagine why. So they made a decision to stop traveling and to take care of the baby crows themselves. They fed the babies flies and berries, and at night they told them stories about adventure and courage and doing the right thing. And, well, the same thing that makes fairy bodies strong, protein, myth, makes crows grow stronger too. But the winter was approaching fast, as it does in the north, so the fairies decided to overwinter there with the three baby crows. When spring came, the crows had grown much bigger than the wee little fairies, and the fairies could ride on the crows' backs. They had become so close to each other that they decided they could never bear to be apart. So they all made their new home right there in the woods, high atop the Caribou Mountains. It's a very remote location, and hardly any humans have ever set foot there. But the ones that have say there's something magical about the Caribou Mountains. And they're right. Those hills are full of fairy magic.